Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com.
The Celtics, somehow, some way, they escaped last night's thrilling Game 1 with a win. Boston's fourth quarter siege took no prisoners. And Steph Curry's road to that elusive Finals MVP, it got that much harder, even though he brought the house down last night. What a performance he had. You picking up what I'm throwing down? It was a full house. What will shake out Sunday in Game 2? Hopefully we're treated to another thriller. We'll preview all of that right here. NBA Today starts right now.
It's the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Steph Curry starting to cook. He's hotter than fish grease.
This team in green and white hangs around.
Oh, so much Steph Curry. Wild comeback here for the Celtics. Horford for the lead. Boston up by three.
Think about the Celtics. There's not one guy you could point to that had a hand in winning this ballgame.
The Celtics take Game 1 of the 2022 NBA Finals.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com. We are inside Chase Center. I'm Malika Andrews, joined by Chinne Agumake, Richard Jefferson, and Kendrick Perkins. So, guys, I was watching a little bit of TV this morning, and it seemed like the narrative all over the place was, oh, my God, nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw the Celtics winning Game 1. And, Chinne, like, I'm sorry that we have to go through this, but that actually isn't even true. These two, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, they saw it coming. I'll let you guys puff out your chest for a second. But, Rich, like, keep your shirt on, please.
Please, Lord.
I don't know what you. I don't know what they want us to say.
Right is what you do. Correct is who you are.
We're not always correct, but there are certain instances where we understand a little bit, right? And, like, you know, there's the blank around and find out. And the Warriors, that ultimate team, they like to blank around sometimes, and then they like to find out what's going to happen. And in that moment, that's what happened. That ain't the Memphis Grizzlies over there. That is not the Denver Nuggets without two of their superstars.
All right.
That is not the Dallas Mavericks that upset the Suns with one main superstar.
Enough.
We can keep going down the line.
No. We're not going down the line. Enough of that. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's see how it got done. Let's go ahead to the fourth quarter. And Al Horford, in his media availability after the game, all he wanted to do was not talk about himself, but credit that man right there, Jaylen Brown, because he got this fourth quarter run started. Check the score. Down 12. Not anymore. 10. Jaylen Brown, once again, pulls up. Bang.
It looks so impressive for me when I watch this game. Now, right here, that's the play right there. That's the right there. He knocked down two buckets, and then he decided to get his teammates involved. Then again, another assist right there. It's about when you get the assists. It's about when you get the buckets. And Jaylen Brown was the best player for 48 minutes last night, better than anyone else, in my opinion.
Let's talk about how he feels right at home in the Bay, former Cal grad.
Well, now
Derek,
you love Cal?
Derek White was looking like he was feeling quite comfortable.
No.
Derek White and Al Horford. Jaylen Brown got it started.
I think that was the biggest shot of the night right there.
They finished it.
That was a wrap for them at that point in time. Because watch this. Al Horford playing the defense, and this is when their defense got inspired. And this is one thing that they don't understand. People don't often give credit.
Look at that vet trailing the play.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. And then there was another play where Looney did not get back on defense that led to a wide open shot.
Well, six made threes. You saw it. That's the most by any player in NBA history in a finals debut. Marcus Smart has the dagger. And just for good measure, one more from Marcus Smart just to put the cherry on top. That would do it. Steph Curry says, all right, live to fight another day. Un beso para todos from Al Horford. Here's Steve Kerr after the game.
See, he speaks Spanish.
They had us on our heels. They made a good push, you know, to start the fourth, and they kept that momentum going. We had a couple turnovers, a couple bad possessions offensively, and they just pounced. You know, they took advantage of every opportunity.
We got a little rushed, and I don't think we were smart enough in some of those situations to try to find the right matchups and try to create the right shots.
This is what we rely on all year, our one-on-one defense, and guys really clamped in a little bit better, more physicality, more awareness on their shooters, taking up some space, and seemed like this seemed to wear them down a little bit.
No, just a battle of will, and I think they won that in the fourth quarter.
They got some great looks from three. That kind of blew the lid open for them.
The guys kept finding me time after time. Also, Derek White, you know, hit some tough shots there too. Yeah, you know, it was just get the looks, knock them down, and that's that.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So those guys are good shooters. But 15 for 23 from those guys, you know, so be fine.
I mean, what a fourth quarter it was for the Boston Celtics. There was so much that went into that. So many guys that stepped up. So, Richard, I'm going to start with you here. What was the biggest key to the Celtics' fourth quarter?
Well, look I think Al Horford and his ability to kind of, you know, just be a calming presence, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that has been so, I don't want to say glossed over, but we forget that Al Horford is 800 years old. Like, this is not a guy in his prime. I know we've heard
it's his birthday today. We're going to do him like that?
Yes, 100%. That's how families do each other on birthdays. And so I love Al Horford, but people forget that he is well past his prime. He is closer to retirement than he is to anything else. And he has been so impressive going toe-to-toe with Giannis here in this series, being a difference maker, because it is so hard for bigs to play against the Warriors. And not only did he play, he dominated. 26 points?
Yeah.
26 points in the game. Like, you weren't getting this Al Horford when he was in Atlanta trying to get to the NBA Finals. So it's just so impressive what he did and how he did it for 48 minutes.
I'd have to agree. And a lot of times when you look at championship runs, you usually get role player games that are playing out of their mind. And that's exactly what you got from Al Horford and Derek White, potentially Marcus Smart consistently over the Eastern Conference, even in that final span. I think overall, the NBA is a make or miss league, and they made some shots in that fourth quarter. I mean, the point spread was, what, 40 to 16. They scored 40, held the Warriors to 16. They made 9 threes. When that happens, you put up 40 in the fourth.
You ain't losing.
You're going to be all right. You're
so making shots, it's make or miss, and when you're hitting.
It's a make or miss league, and they were taking some tough shots, meaning, like, the role players. Those are the guys you want
White,
to shoot
White
in the fourth
quarter.
White
knocked down a huge
contested
shot. The contested shot.
On Steph.
Derek White was, the
pump
he was
fake.
Hitting down when it mattered the most. I mean,
that one right there,
incredible.
Otto Porter fell asleep, though. I remember that play. I'm just like, yo, they got to do a much better job of contesting these threes. They were somewhat contested, but not NBA Finals. I'm trying to win a championship-type contest.
But when you make shots on the road, game one NBA Finals for a young squad, like, that is how you win.
That is less rested than the Golden State Warriors were. Perk, your biggest takeaway.
Well, you know what? I think Richard brought up a great point about Al.
Whoa.
No, you really did, about Al Horford. Al Horford is who Draymond Green used to be for the Golden State Warriors, meaning the way that he was able to stretch the floor last night. Remember, the old Draymond, before they got Kevin Durant, we used to watch him knock down those wide-open shots from the three-point line and be able to have a 20- or 30-point night. Now he doesn't do that. We're watching Al Horford. Look, when Al Horford and those guys start to make shots, guess what? It opened up the driving gaps and give the isolation plays to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But look, my biggest takeaway was the word trust by Ime Udoka. Peyton Pritchard played 8 minutes in that fourth quarter. The way he stuck with his bench and the way that he believed in his bench, Derek White and those guys, when he believed in those guys and left them out there on the floor, it spoke volumes not only to Ime Udoka but to the team. Because when Jason Tatum came back in, he wasn't trying to play hero ball, let me take you home.
Yep.
He became a role player at that point. So the word trust and Ime Udoka and that Al Horford is playing like Draymond Green used to play.
Well, it seemed like the uh-oh for the Golden State Warriors was when Steph was going nuclear in the first quarter, the Celtics were still in the game. At halftime, when it seemed like the Warriors were playing their hearts out, the Celtics were up by two. So let's take a look at the first quarter, Steph Curry, because he was who kept them in this game. This is game one. He had it going early, remember, Richard?
Yeah.
He missed his first three-point attempt, but he gets another one.
And look, there was a lot of mistakes here. There was a lot of mistakes here. Now yeah, so he knocks down threes. And when I say mistakes, Steph can make it if you do it right. But if you do it wrong, this is a mistake. This is a mistake.
Should
right?
never happen.
That should never happen. I get it. There's some communication. But even here.
Even.
Yeah, I get it. But look, you can't go underneath on Steph. That's another mistake. And Ime called a timeout. He thought that there was going to be a switch. He goes underneath. There is no switch. That's not good enough defense. But it takes you time to understand where you're playing good defense. Those threes, those are not acceptable, obviously. I think everyone knows that. And so part of playing against the Warriors is figuring out how to guard them. And what is it like this? If I contest Steph, that's a livable shot right there. That's a livable shot. The other five aren't livable. So let's get more to our livable contest.
Well,
that is something you can live with.
Oh, that quarter. Move right there.
That was
there,
a record
though.
For any quarter in the finals.
Look at that. You reach, I teach.
Yeah.
And then he sort of had fun with the floater. He could have just thrown it in, but he's like, underhand this.
And that's fine. You want Steph shooting those shots. Like, if you're the Boston Celtics, you'll live with Steph shooting 22s. Though, like, right there, good contest, ball movement. That's what you want. Now you can start to see. Look, they're closer. That was a great screen by Draymond.
But where did Marcus Smart come from?
Yeah, because they realized how many threes he had. But this is where you got to make that rotation. You got to make that rotation and get that ball to Clay at the end.
Well, and it looked like maybe he was working with his ankle a little bit there. He might have tweaked it just a tad. Obviously, he was in the game. Not too concerning, but we did see that. Important to take a look there. But Steph, I mean, he started out hot. We said it. Six made threes in the first on his way to 21 points in the period, but he scored 13 more points the rest of the way, 5 for 16 overall shooting, right? Mm-hmm. So his 7 three-pointers tied for his second most in a finals game in his career. That is a lot, but he's going to need a little bit of help, right? If he's going to get this done. 21 points in the first, 13 the rest of the way. Who needs to step up, Chennai?
You know, I would say all of the Warriors overall. I mean, we had moments where people had flashes that you're like, all right, they're competing. Kevon Looney, mm-hmm. the defensive presence he had at times, especially in the second, was awesome. I believe his parents also had an anniversary, and I saw them walking. I was like, happy anniversary. It was nice. They're happy. You know those cute finals moments. But you look overall, I mean, their entire squad defensively, when someone is hot, like you see a Derek White or an Al Horford, you have to find a way to, you know, put the extinguisher on them. And they weren't able to because guess what? You have two superstars. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that you're still focused on even if they're not being so productive down the stretch. So I would put the onus on all the Warriors to really come out with a better game plan, meaning defensively finding the guys when they're really killing them, knocking down shots.
Well, Andrew Wiggins had 20 points. So him and Steph combined for exactly half of the Warriors, 108 points together. Otto Porter was doing a little bit, getting it going. But Richard, who do you need to see step up?
Well, I like what Chennai said as everybody, but to me, there's a level of consistency that their team has to play with. Mm-hmm. And we talked about if we can get 18 to 22, if you're the boss of Celtics, if we can get this, you know, if we can get 16 from Al Horford, you understand those. But for the Golden State Warriors, they need a more collective, sustained effort, and that is everybody. Steph got you going. Okay. You know guys are going to hit shots. Okay. But can you defend for 48 minutes? And that is not something that we have seen overly consistent from that team. We know the Boston Celtics team will defend for 48 minutes. We just worry about whether or not they could score enough points to compete.
But yeah, but we still not pointing out individuals, and I think you need
the
individual.
Say everybody.
Nah, that's easier to say. That's a cop-out. And I think a lot of people will say Jordan Poole. I just think this is not the series for Jordan Poole just for the simple fact they have too many perimeter defenders, the Celtics do. I'm going back to Draymond Green. Al Horford is doing what Draymond Green needs to do for the Warriors. He's wide open. They're leaving them open. They're denying the wings now. That's the recipe that they were doing in the second quarter, and that's what they did in the fourth quarter. And he's hesitant to take those shots. He has to take those shots. He has to be aggressive. He has to make those shots. It has to be if Draymond Green could be the Draymond of old. If Draymond Green can't be the Draymond of old, the Warriors do not have a chance at winning in this series?
Well, the championships that the Warriors have won, they've really forced you to play small ball. And I think the one area of kryptonite is if you have great center production, whether it is Al Horford, Robert Williams III. Like, if the Celtics are able to get that type of production, it doesn't have to be 26 points, but 20, 15 consistently. That's what forces Draymond Green to really have that comparison of, like, you need to have a bigger night facilitating on offense and slowing them down. And I think the Celtics won that match.
Well, and I think they know that they need a little bit more offensive production from Klay Thompson. You mentioned Jordan Poole. He needs space. That's the thing. Jordan Poole needs space to get into a shot, and they weren't giving him that. Sometimes
they
it takes
him. They're not going to give it to them.
So that means you got to rely on the OGs. That's when Klay Thompson needs to step up. That's when Draymond needs to step up. But here's the thing about the Warriors. They know. They know better than anyone of us can tell them. They're sitting there right now like,
they know how good
the
Celtics defense is.
They know how good the Celtics defense is, and they're going to try to give it their all in game two and go back to Boston tied. All right. Still ahead, though, on NBA Today. We'll discuss the Jays game one performance. Our crew grades Jason and Jalen. Not comparing, Richard. I know you want to get into all of that. And do not miss part two of my sit-down conversation with the always engaging Draymond Green. That's just minutes away. Plus,
did you tell him to be aggressive?
Always. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on what may change when it comes to all NBA voting. We'll explain. NBA Today rolls on after this.
NBA Today is presented by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere. And in part by Coors Light, made to chill.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to NBA Today. I think we're a pretty fashionable foursome, so what better time than our style watch brought to you by Hennessy?
Henny!
All right, Chiney, I really hate to do this, but is this fit Chiney or yay?
Chiney or yay? I'm going to go yay because he got the dub, but like the actual fit.
It looks like, I think Nina Kime said it. It looks like someone from the Project Runway, like half of one outfit.
I'll tell you what he looks like. He looks like he could be a backup singer in the Wedding Singer movie. he looks like he was like an 80s backup dancer, right, for Prince or El DeBarge. That's what he looked like. Those were the type of big shoulder pads. You were a little young on that age, but all of that fit right there, like, do you remember like the Dave Chappelle skit where it was like Rick James? They were all dressed like that. Everybody
in
that.
I think we should get one in perk size.
100%. You would look great with a ruffled shirt.
Speaking of outfits, where's the other outfit?
I was not trying to laugh.
You would look great in a ruffled shirt, bro.
Wait, perk, speaking of outfits, where's the outfit from earlier today?
What you mean?
Yours.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll remind.
Where is it?
We're going to tie. All right. Here's the thing, though. If he'd lost in that outfit, he would have been roasted for
it. Man, that don't have nothing
to do with it. But he won, so let's get to his play.
We can roast him, win or lose. I don't
12 points, 3 of 17 shooting, career high 13 assists. He was more of a playmaker last night. I can't deal with these. So Professor Perk, I was going to start with you here.
Go ahead.
How would you grade Jason Tatum? Not his outfit. His play.
You know what? I give him a B+.
Soft.
And the reason I give him a B+ is because it's not because of the 3 for 17. It's because of the growth, right? It's the.
Did you just laugh at 3 for 17?
No. What is wrong with you?
Correct.
It's the growth of Jason Tatum. The 13 assists that he had last night, right? The coming back into the game and letting others flourish without him trying to, you know, come in and establish himself. That is growth. Making guys around you better. Even when he's on the floor, he's still a decoy because you have to pay attention to him. So the growth that he showed last night gets a B+ from me.
It's a B-, and the B- was because I didn't want to go C. I didn't want to do that because
C's
they got
degrees.
The
C's get wins last night.
Yeah, but again, like, with all due respect, the normal portion that we would attribute to Jason Tatum being a part of their win, this was not the normal equation that we normally get from him. And that's a compliment to him. That's growth. That's all that. But they're not going to win this series with him playing the way he played in this game here, in my opinion. They're not going to win this series. They need better offensive performance because you can't count on Al Horford. You can't count on White to do these things. They need a better performance. So for me, this was a B-minus because they got the win. He showed growth. He did the things that were necessary for his team to get the collective, but he can't keep playing like this and thinking they're going to win
and
this series.
That's why I went B-plus. I went B-plus because it's not as bad as you think, Richard.
Agreed.
When you get a B-plus, you're like, oh, did I do well? And you're like, oh, actually, I did better than I thought. And I actually have some numbers, thanks to our producer, Schwartz, that can actually give you a reason why. Obviously, not an A performance, but this is why it was a B-plus. You look at it here. We all know that the role players, Al Horford, Derek White, Marcus Smart, stepped up. That's because Jason Tatum set them up.
No.
13 total assists. Listen to them. Those three went 9 for 13 from three off of his dimes. That's 35 points. That's impressive. And again, yeah, maybe if, you know, they weren't able to shoot that way and they lost, yeah, it looks worse. But the fact that they won, he didn't force it. He didn't pressure it. And actually, I want to show you. So can you roll me my tape producer, Kwaku, baby, so we can see what it looks like in real time. This man was doubled. He was tripled. One-on-one, pick and roll, attacks. Look at how many people he attracts. The entire Warrior squad. So what does he do? He doesn't force. Normally, when he's that close to the rim, he can float it.
On time, on target, beautiful pass.
Nice. Again, look at how many people. There's a switch. Two guys go with him. And guess what? He finds Marcus Smart. Can you say it for me, Perk?
Yeah, Marcus Smart.
Right play.
But you know, you have to build confidence over a series, and he didn't force it. Again, he's this close to the rim. Look at the rim. Oh. He's not even looking at the basket because he knows that all the Warriors are keyed in. Imagine having a bad game and people still respect your game this much. Find Al Horford, which, by the way, I believe at that point, he was 5 for 7 from three. There he goes, Al Horford, 6 for 8 from three. It's really impressive what Jason Tatum was able to do. That's the maturation of the Boston Celtics.
You see his body language on that last play? But you know what's crazy is that you would applaud LeBron James for making that play or Luka Doncic.
I like that, but I'm saying he can make that
play. He can
make that play and not go 3 for 17 because Bron used
like
to go 30
Richard
and give us 12 assists. Luka Doncic will give you 30 and 12.
Because he had.
I agree. He had me and you on this team. I'm saying he played great. No one's saying that. The assists are great. He's going to need to score. He's not going to beat them with assists.
I don't think they're not saying that. You're not going to beat a team when one of your best players, your best player, isn't looking to score all the time. That's not going to sustain you over seven games, is what Richard's saying. But I have some more numbers for you. Tatum.
Give it to him.
And Brown. 18 assists for the game. That's their second most as teammates, regular season or playoffs. 9 combined assists in that decisive fourth quarter. So they were both looking to shake and bake a little bit.
I think that was the anomaly game. He can't do that consistently.
Correct.
Like, have that type of
performance. But it also shows growth because that's not something that he necessarily would have done or looks he would have found in the past. He would have been forcing it, and that's what we saw in Shanae's tape. I'm going to cut this off before
swinging that
keep
damn
going.
Cup
yeah, time. Watch out with your coffee. Yeah, none of us want that. Still ahead on NBA Today, though. We're going to play a little bit of Chop It or Drop It, putting Warriors fans under the microscope. Do they need to step it up? All right, we'll see about that. And in just a bit, it's also part two of my must-see conversation with Draymond Green, former DPOY himself. Plus, Adam Silver. He had plenty to say yesterday about curbing injuries. Is the NBA considering shortening the regular season? NBA Today continues.
They bet not.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
What I believe the ingredients are when it comes to winning a title. You have to count on your stars for two of the wins. You got to win a game. You got no business winning.
And you know what we call those wins? It's something that you're very familiar with. Ugly wins. It may not look like me, but it could look like this. Ugly win.
You got to get one win from the other. Because if all that happens and you follow my ingredients, guess what? You get the Larry O'Brien. Look at that. I like you standing next to me. It makes me look a lot better.
So So does this fall under the others, or does this fall under a game you had no business winning in the ingredients?
Both. This falls under both. And they still, and so you can fall it under, you know, whichever category. You go into the fourth quarter on the road, game one, arrested Warriors, and you not only were you down 12, you win by 10, right? A 40-16, like what I was watching that, a 17 overall. So to me, with Jason Tatum going 3-for-17, I know that was a B-plus game for everybody around here, but him going 3-for-17 and then Al Horford, White, all of the different guys that stepped up in that fourth quarter, like, to me, that was a game that the others, I don't think we're going to get 26 from Al Horford multiple times. Shout out. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, my guy. So I look at it as, like, this was an others game. This was a game that wasn't Jaylen Brown, that wasn't Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown was dominant, but it wasn't those two dudes carrying you for 48.
I'm sorry, Richard. I was so distracted by the fact that how much you look like the Larry O'Brien to me.
I do. I thought I looked like an Oscar.
You look just like the Larry O'Brien.
I look more like an Oscar than I do.
Let's not. No.
Can we get the side-by-side of Richard and the Larry O'Brien?
Does that look like an Oscar?
All right. It's been a while.
Yellow, just like it.
We're going to bring back a segment that we haven't done in a little bit. It's Chop It or Drop It. We're going to drop Richard looking like an Oscar immediately.
He looks like the Larry O'Brien.
Where we're going to start. Remember how this works? If you guys want to talk about something, you're going to say Chop It. If you guys want to drop it, we're going to say nah. We're good?
Yeah.
You need something
All right,
else
let's get it.
In there?
All right, Richard.
Join my cup.
You played in the finals in the Bay Area. This is where we're starting on Chop It or Drop It. Does the Chase Center crowd, was it lacking? Does it need to step up to push its team forward a little bit? Chop It or Drop It?
I think we should chop it. And yes, they do need to step it up. Chris, let me say this. I was very, very fortunate to be on this early Warrior team. When Steph first broke the record, they first beat Denver in the first round. That crowd in Oracle was next level. Mm. Now, as this Warrior team kept getting better and better, them tickets started getting higher and higher, and they left the Roracle. They moved over here, and the ticket price is expensive. So you get more of the, like, I want to come and watch the show versus, like, I need to be engaged and involved in the show. Those are two different type of environments, and look, the Warriors didn't give them anything to cheer about in the fourth quarter, but they do need more of an intensity here, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. You got to chop it, because in here is like more of the wine and cheese. In the other arena, it was the Budweiser's and Loud Pack.
Yeah, that was and more so, Steel Reserve.
No, seriously, you need that energy, especially with the young guys that you have on this Warriors team. Mm. We keep talking about the veterans, but they're playing a lot of young guys. So look, I came in here, like, I was in here during the game, and they had more Celtic fans in here loud than the
in the fourth quarter.
Well, in the second quarter.
At the end of the second quarter, they were on their
feet. But like the Celtics made a little, like, baby runs. It could have been a 20-point lead, but instead it was 12. And then at the end of the
Here's
game,
the thing, though. When you're comparing it to Oracle, it's always going to fall 100%. Short. However, Boston, I was doing like a power ranking in my own head of the hardest arenas to play in the NBA. Boston is near the top. So Oracle needs to step it up.
Yeah.
Oracle, Chase Center, channel your Oracle. Come on now. All right, next Chop It or Drop It. Perk, I'm starting with you here. Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? Who is the most important J in the series? Chop It or Drop It.
It's Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum could be the best player in this series, but in order for the Celtics to win, you need Jaylen Brown to be the most consistent player in this series. Meaning, at times, picked up the slack, didn't have it going. That's the Jaylen Brown you want to see. Blow-up game. Can he follow up what he did in the fourth quarter and carry on to game two and have a combination of both of those guys performing at a high level? Now, listen, it's 1A, 1B. I believe that Jason Tatum is the Batman, Jaylen Brown is the Robin, and that's not a bad thing to the idiots out there who think it's bad to be called a Robin.
No, a superhero.
It's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
So a superhero.
But, like, I feel like if you're
not still liberal, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. I just never
But, like, know didn't you just answer it? Because if 1A is Jason Tatum, don't you think Jason Tatum is that guy? I mean, this is the
Larry Bird most
comment.
Important, not best.
Okay, most important. You I think over the course of this series, being able to hold it down, weather the storm throughout the highs and lows. I still think it's JT, just because he's the guy that is the one that assumed all the power here, right? He's the game changer. He's capable of going for 40, or he's capable of going for 20 and hopefully now 10. And so I think, you know, if he plays his best version of basketball and this game one is an anomaly game, then they have a better chance at actually competing and beating the Warriors. Warriors, considering they're facing a deficit of, you know, playing on the road, even though they're ahead by getting that first win and knocking the Warriors from now being, what's it, before 9-0 at home, now they're 9-1. That's impressive.
Oh, it moves fast. Now, I think Jaylen Brown is still Jason Tatum. It's Jason Tatum without a doubt. Now, Jaylen Brown is important from the same spot of, like, when Luka goes for 35-40 and no one else plays, they're not going to win this. Jason Tatum goes for 35-40 and no one else plays when, they can't win. But if Jason Tatum goes for 35-40 and Jaylen Brown gives you 25, now it's like, yo, this is a finals team. And then if you get contributions from everyone else, which they did a good job of facilitating their teammates, most assists that they've ever had or second most assists, that means that those two stars facilitated the greatness of their teammates on top of performing well. So then that's where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum become just this perfect match.
All right, I got one more for you. Richard, Perk's outfit on First Take this morning. Oh. Chop it or drop it.
100% chop it.
Chop it, please.
Chop it.
What you mean,
100%, because look at him, dog. You look like an old school cartoon character.
You know what he looks like? He looks like he belongs in Robin Hood, and the sheriff of Nottingham should be coming up to him.
He looks like an extra. He looks like an extra at Life. Oh, remember Life? That's my cornbread. Yeah. You don't eat your cornbread?
Where did you get that?
Where's the gun line, boss?
Well, first of all, let me explain something to y'all, okay?
Oh, here we go. Look at this.
Shout out to producer Patrick. He went got the outfit. Look, you got to have some type of security. You got to have some type of security about yourself to come on national TV. And
that's why we love you,
you know
Bert.
What I'm saying? So
the stripes are slimming.
Shut up.
I'm gone.
Hold up.
We have Santa perk. So what is this perk?
Alcatraz perk.
Yeah. Alcatraz perk.
No, that was Alcatraz
the stripes look
perk.
Good on you, bro.
Yeah, they look good.
And the cuffs.
See the handcuffs?
Yeah.
Did that come with the fit? Was it like a package?
He's the bear.
Why do arms only go to the forearms?
On NBA Today.
He's asking a question.
Commissioner Adam Silver, he spoke yesterday ahead of Game 1 and says changes may be coming to the All-NBA voting and shortening the season as well. We'll explain both. Stay tuned.
Alcatraz Perk.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com. So before Game 1, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, he met with reporters and he had some interesting comments about making potential changes to the All-NBA format. Take a listen.
A fair amount of consideration is going into whether we should just really the way it works now, the media should just be picking the top players as to be picking by position. I think we're a league that has moved increasingly towards positionless basketball, and the current system may result in some inequities just based on the happenstance of what your position is. So that is something we're looking at. It's something that we will discuss with the Players Association because it has impact on incentives in players' contracts and has, you know, in deep meaning for their legacy as well. So we will look at those things.
All right, so they're going to take a look at it. Chinee, do you agree that there needs to be some changes made to the All-NBA voting format?
100,000%. And I think we can maybe, because it's going to happen moving forward, call it the Joel Embiid rule.
Man.
Because a guy that goes second in MVP voting is not first-team All-NBA for the second year. I think 2 years in a row, second-team All-NBA. That's so disrespectful. Mind you, he was my MVP and Perk's MVP, and he can't make All-NBA.
Y'all
and by the way,
no
when Commissioner Silver talks about player incentives, these incentives aren't just like, you carry a well, never mind. Let me just
stay focused.
When he talks about player incentives, it can be up to $35 million. Guys like Bradley Beal miss out based on designations. Mm-hmm. Guys like Jason Tatum coming out of the rookie contract can miss out on that much money. So, yeah, it's not fair that these guys are in these circumstances based on the positions when we ain't playing, you know, strict position basketball anymore.
Absolutely. And that seems to be what they're moving towards, is maybe just 15, top 15 guys in the NBA.
Yes.
We'll see if those changes are made. I do want to get to, though, another interesting part of Commissioner Silver's press conference where he was asked about shortening the season, the possibility of that. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I'm not against potentially changing the format of the season, even possibly shortening it a bit, if we can demonstrate that that's going to have a direct impact on injuries. And for example, last season, we played 10 fewer games and essentially had no impact. We want to make sure we have a system where our best players are incentivized to be on the floor. At the same time, we obviously don't want to see them injured. And so what we're hoping is we can all work collectively, the 30 teams together, in a non-competitive way, together with our players association, and figure out what is optimal on these players' bodies so that they're incentivized to play but aren't overdoing it to the extent where they end up playing too much and pushing through injuries that ends up hurting their careers.
So yes and no. I just want to point out one thing before we get your, I know you're champing at the bit to talk about this, Richard, but the season was shortened last year to 72 games, but it was also compressed.
From the bubble.
Say, correct. So to say that it was still, there was a number of injuries, obviously if we're talking October to June or October to April 72 games versus December to April 72 games could have a different effect. What do you think of this, Rich?
I think this is absurd. I think this is, let me, I just got stretched here. This is my issue right here, right? Is that you have game readies, you have Normatex. There was years ago where players used to not travel. They would not travel commercial. We have eliminated back-to-backs. We now have a week-long all-star break instead of like 3.5 days.
Yep.
And I remember guys used to have to catch flights, play the last game on Thursday, play in the game on Sunday, and then you would have a game on Tuesday, Wednesday. They have done every single thing. Every team now has sleep staffs. They have extra training staff. When I came into the league, you had two doubled as an equipment manager. Now you have massage therapists that travel with teams. Now guys are, you want to shorten the season? Like, how much more do we have to make this coddling and all of this stuff go with the players? It makes absolutely no sense. Professional sports is not good on your body. It's supposed to separate the people that can do it from the people that can't do it. And while we do want our best product on the floor, part of greatness is longevity. That's what Michael Jordan, that's what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's what LeBron James, all of these guys, we talk about their greatness over a long period of time. And to keep eliminating this and dialing back to the point where it's like there's nothing else for the players to do, I think it is a joke. I think they should never do this. Now, if you were talking about the in-season tournament, I think that's 100% maybe if you wanted to just have a little bit more space. But this right here is the epitome of coddling players to make sure that everything is okay, on top of the fact that players are taking rest days. On top of the fact that they're taking rest days right now. So how are you going to give them rest days and then say, well, we're going to shorten it to 60 games. We're going to shorten it to 70 games. At the end of the day, they're still going to take time off.
Tell them about the money.
The money. Oh, they're making all that money.
I don't think anyone else is going to be yet.
These are the teams. These are the owners need to get on these. It's not just the players.
Thank you.
The players. It's literally, I've seen guys have a thumb injury and not be able to play in back-to-back because they didn't want their conditioning to be off. Right? Like, if you have a thumb injury, you should be in conditioning. And I'm going to stop because I'm getting too excited here. But the fact that we want to talk about shortening the season now with all of this stuff, you tore your ACL. I've missed time before this. And it ain't just because of that. If guys aren't conditioning 24 hours a day to make sure that their bodies are taken care of, that's on them and that's on the team. But shortening the season, you're going to mess with records. You're going to mess with numbers. You're going to mess with so much of our basketball because this group or the way that's handled right now can't handle it. I'm off that.
And carry on.
There you go.
Okay. When we come back, our crew, They get to flex a little bit. This is a flex zone.
Are we flexing?
Yeah, I should have worn
shorts. You just flexed. I was happy.
Yeah. They're in a flex game two predictions. Will the Warriors even things up? That'll be a strong conversation. We'll be right back.
Okay, Richard.
I know that stuff, man. Come on now.
Miss me with that.
We ain't supposed to make this easy.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So when Draymond Green was walking off the court and heading back to the locker room at Chase Center after last night's loss, I saw him shaking his head, almost like, all right, bet, Warriors move next. And Draymond knows a little bit about the ups and downs of this stage, but he's a three-time champion, and there is still something left that he's chasing. Here's part two of our conversation.
Underway with the first ever NBA Finals in the city of San Francisco.
Draymond, this is your sixth Finals with Steph and Klay. How would you describe the relationship that you all have built over the last several years?
Like, we all appreciate each other. I appreciate what Steph brings to the table and how he makes me a better player. I appreciate what Klay brings to the table and how he makes me a better player, and vice versa. It doesn't work with me and Steph, or Klay and Steph, or me and Klay. Like, it works with all three of us. It's unstoppable when it's all three of us. And so I think it's built on us coming together and no one really truly believing in us except for us. And then as we prove people wrong, you have people hopping on the bandwagon, you have people trying to critique it, but ultimately knowing that if we just stick together, it's an unbreakable bond that we have.
Draymond Green is down.
The sad thing is the calf injury ended up being a lower disc injury, which is certainly scary.
You went through your own injury earlier this season, not to mention Steph Curry couldn't finish the regular season. Andre Iguodala has been out with an injury. Were there ever doubts that all of this was going to come together?
Absolutely. It's been such a roller coaster. We started off the season incredible. There was nothing you could say to me that would make me believe that we weren't going to be the number one seed, that we weren't going to run through the league. There's nothing that you could have said to me that would make me believe that. And especially, like, we got Klay Thompson coming back. Like, are you crazy? And then, boom, the day he comes back, I go out with a back injury. I can't walk. I can't lift up on my toes. Like, there's no strength in my calf. Like, and then I come back and Steph goes down. And it's like, all right. It's like, are we really going to win the playoff? Like, are we really going to win a championship? I'm not so certain. And so the thing came, well, if we can get healthy, then we're going to have a chance to compete for a championship. And it's good to see it come to fruition that we actually got healthy and we're here. But there was a lot of doubt along the way.
Oh, Draymond putting some muscle behind that hustle. The little things that Draymond Green does on a nightly basis.
I know you've said that you want your media career to be bigger and better and have even more longevity than your playing career. But you're still playing. What's left in your mind? You're a multiple-time champion. You're a defensive player of the year.
What's wrong with more championships? What's wrong with more defensive players of the years and all defensive teams and all NBA teams and all-star appearances? So many guys in this league that's gotten so much more than I've gotten. Why can't that be me? And so that's my goal. That's what's driving me, is to continue to build a resume so I can be a first ballot Hall of Famer, not just a Hall of Famer.
Draymond Green and the Warriors, they're back at it Sunday night in Game 2, trying to even the series, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, ABC, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio. NBA Countdown gets it all started 7:30 Eastern. But before we get to Game 2, let's go back to yesterday.
What's up?
What's up, man?
You're with Janae. Wow, surprise, surprise. Yeah. The girl that grew up 5 minutes from here is picking the Warriors. The girl that went to school right down the street is picking the Warriors. Right. The guy that played for Boston is picking Boston.
Saying you're the only,
so like, you're the only one that can party.
Yeah, I respectfully hate both organizations, to tell you the truth.
That's fine. They don't like you.
I know. I beat them every time I was in the postseason.
Can you blame them? That's
no, no.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Boston sees my face, and they see an L.
All right, for those keeping score at home, these two are right, us two are wrong. Who you got? Game two, Perk.
I got the Celtics. I know we all want the Warriors to win so we could get an epic finals, but I got the Celtics winning game two.
Oh, I got the Warriors. They better win. They better win or this thing's over. Or this thing's over. I'm going to start planning my trips. I'm going to start planning Cancun.
No one wants to
see sign, retweet what Richard said. By the way, producer Schwartz just told me home teams, they lose game one, afterwards 14-3 in game two. So the Warriors, you know, the numbers are on their side.
All right. Who likes pie?
I do.
All right, sure. Stick around. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds. And who we may like, or may not have some pie.
Who doesn't like a good slice of pie?
NBA Today is presented by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere. And in part by Hennessy, the spirit of the NBA. Please drink responsibly.
The first pie I ever made, I learned from my high school boyfriend's mom. I ate it and I was like, I gotta learn how to do this. As an African-American business owner, my community members have shown up for me time after time.
Champion Black businesses as we share the NBA finals stage together.
Patisserie time. We have some treats here. Oh my gosh, Janelle.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Jean, thank you so much. Patisserie's take on pie is playful, modern, elegant. What kind of pie do we have here?
Two very, very
two different types of pies. Okay, what kind of pie do we have?
A lemon pie.
Ooh, how do I open it? Ooh, I got it. Oh. A lemon pie with a layer of blueberries. Janelle, thank you. Shouldn't have.
Don't I what?
Oh, look at Moy.
Oh, this,
Director Kathy.
This is going home.
This is beautiful.
This is beautiful.
Don't you eat
You got me, Director
that.
Kathy.
Beautiful.
Oh.
Don't you
can I?
I'll do it if you do it.
No, no.